From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he concludes a message called Christ's Mighty Works of Grace in the City of the Curse. By visiting Jericho, the city which was under God's curse, the Lord Jesus Christ showed that the mercy of God extends to the chief of sinners. In this place, whose very existence defied God's command, the Savior brought healing to bodies and to souls. This is what He came to do, regardless of the cost or opposition. Indeed, He shall save His people from their sins. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns brings today's hot topic, bad science and worse theology.
The International Society for Science and Religion, ISSR, with headquarters in Cambridge, England, promotes itself as, quote, the world's foremost scholarly organization devoted to the dialogue between science and religion. Recently, the ISSR commissioned a report by seven of its expert members to deal with the claims of the intelligent design movement that has set evolutionists by the ears here in the United States. ISSR notes that, quote, there has been much interest in the view that our current scientific understanding of evolution is incoherent. According to this view, certain biological features, because they appear to be irreducibly complex, could not have evolved by natural selection, and therefore must have been created by the intervention of an intelligent designer. ISSR adds, quotes, this view has been challenged not only by atheists such as Richard Dawkins, but also by religious believers. Among these are many members of the International Society for Science and Religion. ISSR's Executive Committee has published a report on the issue by its seven members, each of whom is proclaimed as an expert in science, theology, philosophy, or history. The report was finalized only after consultation with ISSR members who come from many countries and from many different religious traditions and academic disciplines. The concept of intelligent design is, says the report, neither sound science nor good theology. The authors don't attempt to specify precisely how they believe the religious believer can speak of God's action as creator, a question in which they may differ among themselves. They are united, however, in resisting what they call the insistence of intelligent design advocates that their enterprise can be taken as genuine science, just as we oppose the efforts of others to elevate science into a comprehensive worldview, so-called scientism. Sir Brian Heap, the president of ISSR, who is both an endocrine physiologist and a professing Christian, said, here is a succinct critique with a valuable bibliography, though no doubt not the last word on the subject. He is dead right. This is certainly not the last word on the subject. Parading experts is about as helpful as parading a line of polar bears. Those who promote intelligent design are also experts in the very same fields of science, philosophy, and religion. What all ISSR's religious experts have in common is a desire or willingness to discount A, the plain statements of the Bible, treating them as anything but divine revelation, and B, any cogent argument that shows the inherent impossibility of the scheme proposed by Darwinian evolutionists. In other words, they come to the subject with closed minds, determined to make the evidence fit their prejudice. The theologians they acclaim are not theologians at all, in the real sense of the word. Theology can function only on the basis and in the realm of divine revelation. ISSR's theologians can never ascend beyond a humanistic construction of a God of their own imagining. Theirs is a God of their own devising. Their religion, whatever its name, is really idolatry. Their theology is bad theology, and their science is bad science. All the experts in the world can't change this. Unfortunately, however, their prestige enables them to press their bigoted views on the government to deny students in public schools the opportunity to learn both sides of the debate, which really, I suppose, says a lot about the insecurity of ISSR and its proclaimed experts.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Gospel of Matthew. Five articles dealing with various aspects of this book will give you a deeper understanding of the Lord's Word through Matthew, the converted tax collector. Other articles in this issue deal with the nation of Ghana, as well as with one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, the subject of prayer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Of his willingness to save every poor, blind sinner who cried, Lord, have mercy. Receive mercy. Every one of them. And just to show you that it's sovereign grace, Zacchaeus, who never made himself known to Christ, never uttered a word of petition, climbed up a tree just to get a glimpse, yet Jesus came and said, Zacchaeus, not said a whole lot. I know you. I know who you are. I know where you are. Come down, for today I must abide at thy house. That's sovereign grace. That's omnipotent grace. Men and women, that's the Savior I present to you today. There's some of you here and you're not saved. And you know it. Some of you here, not only not saved and you know it, but you're captivated by wickedness and ungodliness. Your heart is a den of darkness, and you know it. What's the answer? The answer is exactly what was told to the blind man. Jesus is passing this way. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. The world will still tell you, don't call out to Christ. The crowd will still tell you, don't cry for mercy. But I would beg of you to learn from these men, no matter what the world may say, cry out for mercy. Have mercy on me. And I want to tell you, He'll do the same work today to give you the sight that your soul needs, and the light that your soul needs, and the grace that your soul needs, and the transforming power that your soul needs. Cry out to Christ for mercy. Time forbids that we spend much time on noting the people on whom He chose to do these works. He calls them the lost, the poor, the helpless, the despised. People like the blind beggars, whom others wanted to silence and ignore. People like Zacchaeus, whom others thought too big a sinner to be saved. But these are the very ones that Jesus came to save. I've given you illustrations from real life this morning. From the best man at my father's wedding, a man that I personally in later years came to know quite intimately, a man I personally greatly admired. He couldn't do anything else. A saint of God. These are the people Jesus came to save. Not just drunkards, but sinners. Sinners. When the Pharisees, Matthew 9, 12 and 13, challenged Christ's disciples as to why their master ate with publicans and sinners, Jesus said, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Go and learn what this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. There's a whole lot of Christians would need to go and learn that too. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I'm interested in you having a love for sinners. Not just being able to recite holy sounding prayers. Jesus is saying to His own people, I'm interested in you learning to have a love for sinners. Never allow yourself to have pride of grace. Never allow yourself to reach the place where you're looking down your long pharisaical nose at poor, vile, filthy, ungodly, guilty, hell-bound sinners. Because listen, if Christians won't love them, who on earth will love them? Go and learn what it means. I want mercy. This is the word of Christ. I want mercy. I'm not interested in the ritual, sacrificial religion that you're practicing. Not interested in that. I'm interested in the reality of people whose hearts are beating in time with the heart of the love of God. That's what Christ is saying. Go and learn what this means. Because I'm not come to call the righteous. I've come to call sinners to repentance. Those are the people Jesus came to save. I grew up listening to Dr. Paisley say again and again and again, the only qualification a person needs to become a Christian is sinnership. Sinnership. Until a person is convicted by the Holy Ghost that he's a sinner, and wrought upon by that same Holy Ghost to confess his sin and turn from that sin unto Jesus Christ, he'll never be saved. Sinners. Do you know the tragedy here? Sure, we're all sinners. But there are people either who don't know they're sinners, won't confess they're sinners, or, and I fear this is true in so many of our churches, there are people who don't care that they're sinners. Some of you have sat, you've listened to me, you've listened to the other preachers in this church, you've listened to visiting preachers, you've grown up under the sound of the gospel, you've been here and there and everywhere. You become so blasé about the gospel, you can just sit back with a face that's harder than the men of Sodom. Like them, you cannot even blush. I'm being honest with you. There are folk here, you're not saved. And you don't give two straws about it. You don't care 2 cents worth about it. Your sin doesn't bring shame to your soul. Doesn't bring conviction. Doesn't lead you to cry before God, "I am a poor, vile, guilty sinner. Oh, Christ, have mercy on me." That's the tragedy. But oh, where there is a sinner confessing, crying for mercy, there is a Savior who is mighty to save and strong to deliver. Why did Christ do these mighty works in the city of the curse? You could, I suppose, say just because God is love. You may say it was sheer mercy, grace and goodness, and that's true. When you look at the story as a case, I think there's another reason suggested. When people objected to Christ going to Zacchaeus' house, he said, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham." Notice those words, "he also is a son of Abraham." In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ was keeping in mind God's covenant with Abraham. He knew that he was the embodiment of the promise given to Abraham. He knew that the Father had given him a people, and that he would save those people no matter what the cost. And no matter what the opposition. That gives me encouragement. It is said that Spurgeon preached as if everything depended on him. But when he prayed knowing that everything depended on God. Maybe that's a good way to get the balance between God's sovereignty and my responsibility in preaching the gospel. But at the end of the day, I come down to this, and it gives me great confidence. Jesus Christ did not come on a hit or miss mission. Jesus Christ didn't come with big ideas as to what he might do, but yet he might fail. Jesus Christ didn't come to purchase the chance that people might be saved. Jesus Christ came to save. He came in the terms of a covenant of redemption set up in eternity in the counsels of Almighty God. He came to save the sons of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, the spiritual seed, those whom he called his people. And he came to save them from their sins, to do it
He came into the city of the curse. He had God's promise. He had God's covenant. He fulfilled it. And thank God, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And the Lord Jesus shall see of the travail of his soul. And he shall be satisfied. Why did he do it? Because he came to do the Father's will. And he was certain of absolute success. These then are the mighty works of Christ's grace in the city of the curse. His was a mission of mercy, a mission he continues to this day, a mission he will continue until he has brought in the very last of his elect.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.